Professor Yunus, welcome to the German Dream Project.
Thank you.
Professor Yunus, you are one of the few people in the world who are not only driven by a big dream, but who have also helped millions of poor people to make their own dreams come true. Back in the 80s, you decided to start a bank in Bangladesh that would give loans to the poor, a revolutionary idea that has now spread into more than 100 countries around the world. Where did this dream of yours come from?
When you live in a country like Bangladesh, you are surrounded by frustrations. So I thought I should, instead of trying to fix up everything, I should concentrate on individual person and see if individuals can make a difference in their own life. And opportunity came when I started giving small loans. The way I gave the loan is without collateral. From then on, it became very successful. We became a bank. So far, we have given out in total more, it's just about $5 billion. And each year right now, we give out $500 million a year. We have 4.5 million borrowers. 96% are women. We lend out money on an average of $150. The loans in the smaller range would be something like $3, $5, $10. And people are moving out of poverty. That's what the exciting thing about it. Today, 55% of Grameen borrowers are out of poverty. They have pulled themselves out of poverty.
When you first tried to start a bank that would give loans to people with no proof of income, no credit ranking, and sometimes not even a home address, most of your peers and colleagues thought you were just out of your mind or simply ridiculous. Where did you find the courage to take the risk anyways?
Well, as I said, when you are desperate, you do anything. First of all, I thought amount of money involved is just so small. How can you go wrong on that, even if it doesn't work? I was trying to get a feeling of how much money people are borrowing from the moneylenders, loan sharks, because I saw how moneylenders were making poor people's life miserable by lending money and imposing very unreasonable conditions on them. When I prepared the list, there are 42 names on my list. Total money they borrowed was $27. And I was shocked. For less than a dollar a piece, the moneylenders converted these people into virtual slave labor. So my first reaction is to take out this $27 from my pocket and go around and return the money to the moneylenders to kind of liberate these 42 people. And that created such a stir, such an excitement in those 42 people. So I wanted to continue with this. And one way I thought I can continue by linking them with the bank. When I proposed it to the bank manager, he fell from the sky. He couldn't believe that I'm asking him to lend money to the poor people in the village. So that became a battle for me to go on arguing with all the officials, higher levels of officials in the banking hierarchy. I offered myself as a guarantor. I said, well, if things go wrong, we'll go wrong, but let me try it out. So that was how it began in 1976. Luckily for me, it worked. So I got very excited. And that thing led to another expansion and another expansion, and gradually we became a bank.
Despite Western European efforts to be progressive, it is still often very difficult for European women to get the financial backing they would need to start a business. More than 90% of your loans are going to women, as you said. What could Germany learn from your understanding and your proven experience of how business loans to women can transform and renew a whole country?
When I began in the mid-70s, two arguments I brought against the existing banking system, two complaints rather. One complaint was the banking system is deliberately designed to keep the poor people out of it. Second complaint that I brought, that not only the banks reject poor people, they also reject women of all classes. Not even 1% of the borrowers happen to be women. So when I began, I wanted to make sure half the borrowers in my program are women. And it was very difficult to persuade women to come and join and take money from Grameen Bank because they thought they are not capable of handling money. Many even argued that I never touched money in my life. Throughout history, this is how they have been treated and this is how they have learned. So they have to unlearn this and build confidence in them. But I didn't give up. And it took 6 years to build up that level of 50-50. Then I noticed that money going to the family through women brought so much more benefit to the family than money going to the family through men. You don't have to be a very smart researcher to find it out. It's so obvious in every single household that if the mother is a borrower, certain things you see start happening. For example, children benefiting from the income of the mother. Then we changed our mind. We said now we give preference to women. As a result, today in Grameen Bank, 96% of the borrowers are women, and they own the bank. Grameen Bank is owned by the borrowers, and that's how it goes. So I'm sure if women is brought into the mainstream banking services and so on, society as a whole will be tremendously benefited from that.
Your philosophy seems to be that we should recognize every human being as a potential entrepreneur, no matter how educated, how wealthy or poor. How does that apply, again, to our situation in Germany, where currently around 5 million of our people are without a job?
Whatever number Germany has, as a rich country, as a very very creative country, I think even whatever number there is, it shouldn't be there. It should be ways of helping them to discover themselves. For the poor, for the neglected, the creativity and ingenuity that they are born with, are never discovered. It's almost like you are born with a gift. It's a most valuable gift. But you never had a chance to unwrap that gift, to see what is inside. Society's responsibility is to encourage and facilitate every human being to discover himself and discover herself. Because after all, if they can discover their own creativity, own potential, then it is a contribution to the whole human community. Because all human beings by nature, by birth, are entrepreneurs. Human beings thrive on challenges. So to allowing them to and encouraging them to take challenges, I think the best thing a society can do.
Let's assume that you would meet Germany's chancellor, no matter what party would be in power at that time. You would meet him or her, let's say, on an airplane at night, somewhere over the Indian Ocean, and the two of you would start a conversation. And the chancellor would say, you know, Professor Yunus, we have 5 million unemployed people, and I am at the end of my knowledge what to do about this. What would be the first question that you would ask in return?
Well, one would be whether they are eligible to go to a bank and borrow without being asked about their identity, about their location, with the fact that they're a human being. That should be a good starting point for a bank to do business. People, when they see there are opportunities around them, they always come up with brilliant ideas to how to move forward.
Now, how do you address the issue of dependence and human laziness?
Dependence is something is created by the society, not the person. The person becomes dependent because society made them dependent. Only reaction so far the society came up with for the poor people is to give them handouts in terms of welfare, in terms of unemployment benefits and so on. So if you can get money free coming to you, the first thing you lost is your initiative. And the second thing you lost is your dignity. You appear as a lazy person because society never challenged you or you never had a chance to challenge yourself.
Being that Germany's citizens are not exactly lacking the finances for their basic needs of daily survival, what do you think we Germans need in order to spark our individual entrepreneurial spirit and to take more risks?
First, I would say a kind of a social vision that not only I take care of myself personally, which in Germany is much easier to do, also to go beyond that. For example, there are so many unfortunate people in the world who never got any opportunity. We'll create opportunity for them. We'll let them have their own dignity established. Maybe Germany would take this Millennium Development Goal to reduce the number of poor people by half by 2015 as a very serious thing as a nation, that Germany alone cannot do that for the whole world. But Germany definitely can take one country specifically, two countries specifically. Here we'll use all our ability, all our creativity to make sure we make an impact. so that we can reduce the poverty in these chosen three countries to zero, and we create a certain process by which whole world will admire us that we have done that. It's not a government activity I'm talking about. As a nation, as a human being, we feel that we are taking a challenge. We are not ignoring others, and Germany may be the first country to help these three countries that they have chosen to create the poverty museum, that in these countries, poverty do not exist anymore, so that future generation, when they would like to know about the poverty in these countries, they have to go, the children have to go to the poverty museums. So this is a contribution that Germany can feel proud of, that individual citizens can feel proud of. Yes, it's not I'm not talking about making more contribution, more donations. So if you can create, if Germany can create that, everybody will like to imitate, and every other nation would like to say, hey, we would like to do better than Germany. But they have to follow, because Germany has already led the way.
Do you think that Germany, by embracing such a wider international responsibility, that by doing this, Germany could also create new jobs within Germany?
Oh, yes, very much, because excitement, the dream of a vision, when it drives a nation, when it drives a person, along the way, the creativity of the nation, creativity of the person increases several fold, because you are driven by a vision that this is what we are going to do. And if that catches your imagination, definitely it leads to many more things.
In searching for what could be a German dream, what would be your suggestions? How could we formulate this new German dream that supposedly could inspire Germany and maybe the world?
If we don't have a dream, we don't have a vision, we'll always be pushed into some terrible, terrible direction we'll regret later. The world is moving very fast, changing very fast. So this is an opportunity for Germany to vision for the whole world, where we'd like to be, and what should be the world like in 30 years and 50 years from now, what would be the ideal, define them and the technology of it and so on. So Germany can create that vision. I hope it's included in that dream, is that that world will be free from poverty. And no child will be without education, no child will be without information technology in the palm of his or her hand. So this is my way of visioning. I hope these will be included in the German vision too.
How do you think an individual citizen's dream relates to the collective dream of their country?
It is the individual dream which leads to the collective dream, not the other way, because you cannot make a collective dream and impose it to the individuals. Individuals feel in a certain way, and it is articulated. When it is articulated, it becomes a social dream. So there is a process by which you inspire individual person. A leader may inspire it, a author may inspire it, a visionary person may inspire it. And then everybody says, aha, this is what we want. And everybody feels part of that. So that way, it has to be cultivated in schools and our everyday life, that this is what we are for, this is what we stand for, this is human life is all about. Otherwise, what is human life about? Work hard, make money, and be dead and go to the grave. Is that it? No, I don't think so. That's no fun.
Professor Yunus, in closing, with all that you have succeeded in and accomplished in your life for yourself and for humanity, may we ask personally, what are you dreaming of now?
Well, my dream is to see the end of poverty in the world. It doesn't exist. Somehow we can almost declare a big prize that anybody who can find a poor person in anywhere in the world, he or she get $1 million prize. And we will have, as I said, the poverty museums, which country became poverty-free in which year, and they will create their poverty museum. And then the last person in that country who just ended the situation of poverty, he or she will be invited to inaugurate that museum, that I am the last one in this country that finally made the transition. And it will be a big, big celebration in the whole country. We will never let it happen, that indignity, that misery to be in any person. I'm looking forward to see one country in the world which will declare itself that we are the first country in the world which is totally poverty-free, and others will be saying that why are we falling behind? There'll be tremendous pressure on their leaders. What are you doing? We want our country to free from poverty. We have only 200 families left. It will take only a few weeks to get them out of poverty. Let's do it and finally make it over.
Professor Yunus, thank you for sharing your dream with the world and for dreaming with Germany.
Thank you very much.